Beyond Victory. All of the United Nations, and particularly those which are still waiting for deliverance from Axis slavery, have needs, purposes, and aspirations to which the world must give full consideration. To help them to win a sympathetic hearing, Beyond Victory brings you a group of programs in which you will hear from leading citizens of some of the martyred countries. In the present program, we shall hear a voice from the great nation which long ago helped us to win our own independence and is rightly called the second homeland of all civilized men, France. These Beyond Victory programs are presented by the Worldwide Broadcasting Foundation of Boston and the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace to help you to understand the problems which our country and all countries will face after the war. To speak for France, we are fortunate in having with us Dr. André Maurice, professor of French literature at Harvard University, who is equally at home with us and in the country for which he was fighting at the hour of collapse. Dr. Maurice will speak to you of France in the world of tomorrow. Dr. Maurice.
In the very month of her defeat, in June 1940, the future destiny of France was prefigured. On one side, Pétain and his men were repeating to the French that two roads only remained open for France. It must collaborate with Hitler in order to manage a place for France in the new Europe, and at home there must be an anti-democratic revolution. In short, collaboration and fascism. On the other hand, another voice from London, the voice of de Gaulle, was telling the same French people, France lost a great battle, but she has not lost the war. Therefore, France must go on fighting, and in every possible way, France must oppose the will of the Germans and of their vicious servants. In short, outside of France, fighting, and inside, resistance. Today, Vichy and its policies are a total wreck, an absolute and dismal failure. But what is growing in power and vitality, because it represents the true continuity of France, is the multiform resistance, which has become a tremendous force, well-armed and ready to act. The underground is not a political group, but the unanimous effort of men of all classes, all parties, all conditions and professions, who accept deadly dangers and merciless repression, standing ready for the day when they will surge forth, weapons in hand, in the bright sun of a reborn France. This is the France of today. I dislike hearing people say, France will live again. Never has France ceased to live. In fact, since the great days of the Revolution, she has never known a more intense life, a more dangerous, beautiful, and fruitful life. This is why she has the right to speak and to be heard. Men who represent her, men from the resistance or men who've been carrying on the fight since 1940, are in Algiers today, seeking to solve the problems of the future of France and of her partnership in the great family of nations. The first problem is the reconstitution of a democratic France. These French people, who've been struggling and resisting for more than 3 years, have the inflexible will to restore in France a true democracy in a spirit of liberty, of equality, and of social justice. On minor points, they may disagree, but on one point, they are unanimous. Their hatred of fascism, under any form or pretext, open, disguised or camouflaged. Of fascism, they have an immediate knowledge which the average American does not possess. So they are mercilessly outspoken against anyone who still believes it is possible to do business with people of fascist leanings. Either we are fighting for freedom and democracy without qualifications or reservations, or else we are compromising with the forces of reaction and fascism. If we are in favor of a new world structure of true democracy, then we must acknowledge the fact that these French upholders of democracy deserve our confidence. Another problem we shall soon face will be the rehabilitation and reconstruction of France. And while at first France will need all the help that can be given her, she is also already preparing, both inside and outside, to devote all her energies to her own reconstruction and to help in the work of world rehabilitation. The third problem of tomorrow is the restoration to France of her rightful place in the family of free nations. For the peace of the world depends upon a cooperative organization in which each and every nation will have its voice. Peace-loving and eager to resume her role as a great civilized nation, France awaits and demands the opportunity to cooperate in the building of the world of tomorrow as a loyal and brave partner whom all of her friends can look straight in the eyes in a spirit of confidence, goodwill, and human solidarity.
Thank you, Dr. Maurice. It is good indeed to be reminded that France never has ceased to live, and that she is already planning for the part which she will play in the post-war world. You've not only made us think, you've aroused more questions in our minds than you could answer in one program. But I hope you'll be kind enough to answer a few representative ones from the members of our studio audience. And here's the first.
Dr. Maurice, could you give us some additional information about the underground? How much work is it actually doing? And what sort of people are willing to risk their lives by working with it?
Well, as to what sort of people, I would answer all sorts of people. Members of labor organizations, intellectuals, students, members of the clergy, lawyers, physicians, farmers. Some use violent methods, sabotage and destruction. Some are preparing for the battle of liberation. Some are working to maintain close contact between occupied France and the rest of the world, especially England and North Africa. Their most important means of action are their clandestine newspapers, secret radio stations, the collection of weapons and ammunition. It's no longer a secret that all the various groups are today well coordinated and that there exists in France a national committee of French resistance with ramifications all over the country. Of course, it is extremely dangerous work. And I was told lately that among the soldiers of the underground, the losses are in fact heavier than on most of the battlefields.
Dr. Maurice, from what I've heard, it seems to me the Germans have deliberately tried to starve the people of France so that they will be too weak to fight for their freedom when the time comes. Just how far do you think this hideous plan has succeeded?
Unfortunately, such a plan could not help succeeding to a large extent. Disintegration of the race is part of the plan expressed in Mein Kampf. And it is possible today to see some of the sad results. The death rate among French children has increased by more than 40%, and tuberculosis is gaining ground steadily. The people of France are receiving less than half the food ration considered as the minimum needed to sustain normal life. I must add that to keep within Germany more than 1 million prisoners of war plus more than 500,000 workers, amounts to depriving France of a large proportion of what should be her next generation. The problem of feeding the existing children of France is therefore vital in the light of future reconstruction. And of course, this is not the case for France only, but for all the overrun nations.
Most of us here, Dr. Maurice, are deeply interested in planning some sort of world organization after the war. Is there any way in which we can know how France feels about these problems?
It is difficult to give a specific answer, since there cannot be at the present moment a real consultation of French public opinion. All I can say is that the editorials of many of the underground newspapers express the wish of Frenchmen to see the creation of either a new League of Nations or of some international organization which must have the necessary power to enforce its decisions. Of course, this is nothing new, for it has been the position of France ever since the early days of discussion about the League of Nations. Hopes of the same sort are already being expressed in Algiers. And may I add that this is in the true French tradition for plans and projects for international organizations were drawn up by French writers as early as the 16th century.
May I ask you one more question, Dr. Maurice? France and the United States have been friends for a very long time. What can we do now and in the future to cement that friendship?
Since the beginnings of American democracy, since the days of the French Revolution, France and the United States have been closely linked together by the common ideal of freedom and equality. The Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the French Declaration of the Rights of Men and the Citizen are all of the same inspiration. I know there have been clouds at times and difficulties, unavoidable incidents in the best of friendships, but our two great democracies were victorious together 25 years ago, and I know that if we all remain faithful to our past and to our tradition, the same friendship will remain alive after the victory which is to come. Today, it depends to a large extent on a common will to study, analyze, discuss, and understand in a spirit of good faith and frankness all the problems in which our two countries are interested. And I believe it is just what we've been trying to do in this broadcast.
Thank you again, Dr. Maurice. We shall not soon forget what you've told us about the role which unconquered and unconquerable France must play in the world of tomorrow. I'm sure many of our listeners would like to give your words further study, and I'm glad to say that Beyond Victory will gladly send, without charge, a copy of this talk by Dr. André Maurice to anyone who will write and ask us for it. Address requests to the Beyond Victory Program, 630 Fifth Avenue, New York. That is the Beyond Victory Program, 630 Fifth Avenue, New York, or write in care of your own station. The Worldwide Broadcasting Foundation of Boston, a nonprofit organization dedicated to enlightenment in world affairs, brings you Beyond Victory each week in collaboration with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Next week, the station to which you are listening will donate this same hour to another interesting discussion of the world you may help create beyond victory. Listen in again next week at this same hour to Beyond Victory.